Welcome to another sermon podcast from Central Presbyterian Church in Atlanta, Georgia. This episode will feature a sermon delivered by the Reverend Shannon J. Kirshner. This sermon is based on scripture from Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. Central Sunday morning service for the 12th of November, 2023, All Saints Sunday, was streamed to our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. A complete video or sermon audio replay of this service may be found on cpcatlanta.org. Select the upper right menu, and then Sermons under Worship.
Pesky Amos. And now I'm going to follow that up with a report from our commitment campaign. That's awkward. Indeed, before we turn to scripture, I do want to update you on where we are in terms of our annual commitment campaign for 2024. First of all, I'm so excited that I get to tell you we are off to an energetic and robust start. So many of you have responded with generosity and purpose. And even though our dedication Sunday was only 3 weeks ago, as of this week, we have already surpassed in commitments the total amount, the total pledge amount that we budgeted for all of 2023. So honestly, that it is exciting. And honestly, that kind of momentum is wonderful to experience and to feel. So I hope that all of you are able to feel that as well. If you've not yet been able to make a pledge, I ask that you consider doing so. As you might know, the draw that we receive from our different endowed and investment funds are often directed by donor intent to the upkeep and operations of our facility. So this means that so much of the money that you give to the church directly supports our ministry and our mission. We invite you to be a part of this work and invest in the work of discipleship. For the truth is that every single dollar really does matter, and it makes a difference in our ability to be a change maker in the city, to be a faith community of holy friendships, mercy, and healing. So thank you to all of you for all that you do and for the variety of ways that you give of yourself to what God is doing in our world through this congregation. Now we turn again to scripture, Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. Listen to this. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 young women took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a shout, "Look, here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all those young women got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise replied, "No, there will not be enough for you and for us. You had better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves." And while the foolish ones went to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other young women came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." Holy wisdom, holy word. Even David's introduction, I want to let you know up front that I wrestled with giving this stewardship update right before we read the Matthew text and dealt with it in this sermon. Now, my hesitancy has nothing to do with the update. Rather, my hesitancy was completely due to this parable from Matthew. First, it's an awful parable to be paired up with any kind of talk of stewardship, with any talk of generosity or sharing. But the other reason I was hesitant is because the parable feels completely disconnected from the majority of what Jesus teaches throughout the rest of this Gospel of Matthew. As Anna Carter Florence once preached, quote, "This parable challenges most of the things I believe about God. It flies in face of pivotal stories. If taking care of yourself and leaving everyone else to fend for themselves was the main message of the Gospels, the miracle of the loaves and fishes would never have happened. Jesus would have expected folks to have brought their own picnic supper, and if they didn't, oh well. Instead of the feeding of the 5,000, she concluded, we would have had the moral of the very few who came prepared. Indeed. Throughout the Gospel of Matthew, think Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes, Jesus has much to say to us about how we use our resources, as well as about the danger of greed. And yet, here today, we have this story about 10 bridesmaids. All of them were called together to light the way for the wedding feast. That's really what happened during Jesus' day. Then Jesus tells us that 5 of them were foolish because though they had oil in their lamp in the beginning, if they had any extra oil, they chose to leave it at home. The other 5, however, were wise because they planned ahead and brought their extra oil just in case. And what happens? The bridegroom takes a whole lot longer to arrive than any of the 10 bridesmaids had anticipated. So everyone falls asleep until his presence is finally announced. And at that point, all 10 of them trim their lamps and burn them at full force to light his way. Tragically, the lamps of the 5 foolish ones immediately run out of oil, and thus they turn to their wise sisters and tell them to share with them. Notice they tell them to share with them. And what do the 5 wise ones say in response? Do they say, why, of course, all that we have is a gift from God. We will return to God a portion of our oil. I wish that would have been an excellent way to follow the annual commitment update. But that's not what they say at all. They say, no, if we give some to you, there won't be enough for us. So you better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves. And the foolish ones go off. The bridegroom arrives, the wise ones and the bridegroom go inside to the party, the foolish ones return to find that the door has been shut in their face, and the bridegroom does not open it for them because he claims not to know them after all. The end. Like I said earlier, I am disturbed by this parable. And part of the reason is because no one shares. That's just odd for a story from Jesus. Surely he's not telling a parable that subscribes to the myth of scarcity. Surely he's not saying to us that the kingdom of heaven, the household of God, is like a giant oil conglomerate. Surely Jesus is not teaching us to hoard as much as we can get and pretend that no one else in the world might need it too. Because if that is what Jesus is saying, then the kingdom of heaven is no different than the empires of earth, where we store up whatever we can, as much as we can, for as long as we can, all for our own survival. Yet that conclusion doesn't fit with any of the other pictures of God's reign, God's household in Scripture. Something else has to be going on. Furthermore, the parable says nothing about what the bridesmaids have at home either, does it? As far as we know, the foolish ones had gallons of oil sitting at home while the wise ones were down to their very last flask. That's a detail Jesus chooses to leave up to our imaginations. Instead, the parable focuses solely on what the bridesmaids brought with them in anticipation of the wedding party and in anticipation of a possible delay. So perhaps this parable is not about hoarding or stockpiling, but rather about what you bring with you to use. You can have all the oil you want, but if you don't bring it with you and use it, you simply cannot light the way for yourself or for anyone else either. Might it be then that this parable has something to do with the oil that we carry with us as we go out into the world week after week, waiting for the wedding party to begin, knowing that there might be a long delay ahead? If that's the case, and we're talking about a very different kind of oil than the commodity we buy and sell. Therefore, what might this oil, the oil that the wise bridesmaids seem unable to give, what does that represent? Here's an illustration that might help us explore that question. I understand there was a time at Columbia Seminary where the preaching professor would bring an oil lamp into the introductory preaching class. It would be used during the, quote, spiritual life of a preacher lecture. And the teacher would put the lamp near the podium and she would light it. And as the teachers and students watched the light burn, the teacher spoke of how part of one's call as both Christian and pastor is to be a light in the world. Everyone nodded. That's not really a surprise. But just as she made that statement, the lamp always went out. Side note, she rigged it before every class by putting just a little bit of oil into the base. But as soon as the students noticed that the light had gone out, the professor would stop her lecture to ask the question, what happens then when the oil runs out? Well, your light goes out. You have nothing left to give. And a pastor with no oil, a Christian with no oil, cannot be the light of the world for anybody, no matter how much they want to be. And then the class would visit together about how daily prayer and Bible study and communal worship are crucial for a Christian's oil supply. This week, I've been thinking a lot about that simple illustration. For I wonder if many of us, me included, feel like we're running a little low on oil these days. I wonder how many of us, me included, feel a bit like a foolish bridesmaid running around with barely any oil in the reserves to sustain us. We hope it's going to be enough to last, but we sometimes discover too late that it's not. For the kind of oil we need cannot be given to us by anyone else. It can't be borrowed or taken. Like the seminary students talked about in that preaching class, that oil comes only with the regular, ongoing, disciplined work of spiritual preparation, the work of prayer, of study, of song, of giving, of hospitality, of worship, the work of daily tending to our awareness of God's presence in our lives, the work of daily strengthening our baptismal vision, the very work we can be tempted to let slip away in the face of the constant tyranny of the now. And as we all know, there is always something else, someone else demanding our attention. And yet, once that supply dwindles from our inattention, our lamps end up empty, and our own light flickers out, unable to light the way for us or for anyone else. I also don't think we can underestimate the effects of our current cultural climate on our ability to tend to our oil supply. It's been a little over a month since the war began between Israel and Hamas in Gaza. And the pictures and stories of the hostages and the Palestinian people in Gaza grow grimmer each day. Plus, as the election season continues to ramp up, it never ever ramps down. The polarization in our country only is growing stronger and even more divisive. And then you add to that the steady drip of cynicism about all of the institutions that we used to trust. And we watch as fear and anger continue to dominate headlines. It can be so much. All of that affects us. For if at the same time, though, we're paying a lot of attention to the violence and the trauma all around, we also stop paying much attention to the light we carry within us, and we let go of doing the spiritual work of replenishing the oil as needed to keep the light sustained. Well, in only a few more news cycles, we're going to find ourselves completely dried out, empty, with nothing to give. And tragically, that will occur at the exact moment when God would invite us to shine and light the way, both for ourselves and for others. If we understand the text, I believe Jesus' odd parable asks us some questions. It asks us to figure out what fills us up spiritually and keeps us from running dry. It asks us to pay purposeful attention to the ways we are or are not regularly opening ourselves up for God's refueling and refilling presence. It asks us if we were doing what we need to be doing so we are ready to shine brightly and unceasingly for what could be a very long, long time until the bridegroom returns and the wedding party begins. After all, the parable says that all the bridesmaids assumed they were ready for the party. All of them slept when the waiting got too long. The primary difference between the wise and the foolish was that the wise ones were the only ones who were ready, not just for the arrival, but also for the delay. They had done the work of careful, thoughtful, disciplined preparation so that their oil would not run out, so they would have what it took for as long as it took until all were finally made well and the long-awaited party began. So what about us, Central? Are we ready to shine as brightly as we can for as long as it takes? Are we doing the individual spiritual work as disciples and also as a corporate church community to make sure that we will always have enough oil to burn? Because we, like Matthew's original community, have no idea when the wedding party is going to start. But we too want to be wise bridesmaids, lamps trimmed and burning when it finally does. One more thing. Let's talk for a moment about the shut door and the no of the bridegroom's response when the foolish ones ask him to open it. We don't know the tone of Jesus's voice for the bridegroom. One way we could hear it is, "Truly I tell you, I do not know you." But I'm not convinced that's his tone. Rather, given all the other reflection on this parable, I hear Jesus saying, "Truly I tell you, I don't know you." In his yearning, I hear Jesus' acknowledgement of a truth that we also know. When we've not tended to our oil supply, when we have gotten so caught up in the anxiety and the fear and the violence and the polarization and the exhaustion of our world that we've stopped spending regular time in prayer and scripture and worship and in service, then we do not know Jesus as well as we do when we're prepared and ready, both for the party and for the delay. I wonder if Jesus' statement is more a statement of sad fact than a statement of a forever closed door. As biblical scholar Kenneth Bailey has written, in that culture, no is rarely the last word. It is simply a pause in the negotiations. Who knows what happened to the foolish ones? Friends, let's tend to our oil supply in these days. Let us promise to remind each other how important that is. Let's do what we can to make sure we are able to light the way for each other, for this world, for as long as it takes, until the party finally begins. In the words of the spiritual, keep your lamps trimmed and burning, keep your lamps trimmed and burning, keep your lamps trimmed and burning. The time is drawing nigh. Children, don't get weary. Children, don't get weary. Children, don't get weary till your work is done. Amen.
We are glad you joined us for this podcast from Central Presbyterian Church. Central is a welcoming congregation of the Presbyterian Church USA located in downtown Atlanta across from the state capitol. For more information about the life, work, and ministries, please visit our website at cpcatlanta.org. We also invite you to join us for worship and Sunday school and experience this exciting and diverse body of believers who seek to be bearers of God's justice in the world. Thanks again for listening.